It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
A longtime doctrinaire Fox News analyst quits, saying that he is ashamed of working for a propaganda machine harming our system of government for profit. Other realizations of his this week? Fire is hot. Also, this is Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal, on today's show, March for Our Lives and Democracy. Stormy weather for the president. Sorry, it's a cliche, but you gotta go with one of those. White House Watch and Russia, and a little bit more on zombie economic policies. But starting out with the uplifting story of the day, the week, and the month is the March for Our Lives, the anti-gun rally attended by 800,000 in DC and millions around the world. The largest ever protest or rally in DC. In New York City, almost 200,000 people, including many on the Forward Nation Radio staff, attended. Don't forget to check out our interviews. For those of you who weren't able to make the march, find out a little bit more about the people attending. Go to our website or our Facebook page to look for the interviews that we did. It was an inspiring march. We walked, for instance, past the Fox News building. I didn't even think this was possible, but the entire building turned its back on us. I didn't think buildings could do that. But to be fair to Fox News, they couldn't be distracted because they were busy taking pictures from the march and photoshopping them into Donald Trump inauguration videos. There is good news that had come before the march and after the march because of this upswell in democracy. Citigroup, and I can't believe I'm going to say something good about Citigroup. This is almost painful. Citigroup announced that it would not be working with merchants who sold guns to people less than 21 years of age, who sold high-capacity magazines, who sold bump stocks, or who refused to do background checks. The CEO of Citigroup described this as common sense measures. Apparently, he's never met a Trump supporter. In New Jersey, there is a bill pending in the New Jersey legislature that would do exactly the same things. In the New York Times this very day, former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has an op-ed where he says, repeal the Second Amendment. In that op-ed, he reminds us how fragile and how revolutionary was the Heller decision that found an individual right to bear arms for the first time in this country. The 5-4 decision of a conservative Republican majority, many of whom were illegitimately on the United States Supreme Court, and reminding us of the importance of making sure that the United States Supreme Court reflects the will of the country and its voters. The most inspiring thing about the march were the kids. You listen to them, you look at them, you see what they've accomplished, you see their poise, and it is absolutely remarkable. It gives you faith in the future of this country that some of our young people are actually that inspiring. Yes, then on the march you pass Trump supporters and you temporarily lose that inspiration. Like the Trump supporters with the sign saying, you marchers are stooges. Signs probably given to them by the Koch brothers. But even they were not enough to dampen the excitement of the day's events and the enthusiasm. They were an inspiration, or for the Republican Party, oh shit. They are an inspiration and we better nip this in the bud. And so we know that the anti-voting efforts are going to be going into overdrive for the next 7 months and 2 years and 7 months and beyond that as well. Because God forbid, the Republicans actually have to win an election in order to maintain power. Gerrymandering. Under threat, the Republicans better get busy doing what they can there. Just recently, the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law, my alma mater, came out with research that indicated that they believe the Democrats needed to win the House elections, congressional elections, by more than 11% in order to take back Congress. Remember, this is the people's house. This is the part of our government that is supposed to be democratic. If the Democrats only outpoll the Republicans by 10%, they will still not gain a majority in Congress. When have we last seen the margin that the Democrats need to win? Depending on how you measure, either 1982 or 1974. I know, for many of our viewers, your parents may not have been alive then. Oh shit, that's actually true. Anyway, that's a scary thought. This is how important it's going to be energized and get your friends registered and get out to vote, because the hurdle is extraordinary. If the gerrymandering hurdle isn't enough, we've now added another hurdle to help gerrymandering efforts along, and that is a change in the census, which the Trump administration, the Census Bureau, has just announced. The census will now be asking people, assuming they prevail in the courts, if they are citizens. According to the New York Times, they are doing this despite concerns that it might cause an undercount. I have great sympathy for the New York Times in such cases. They have to treat Republicans as if they're serious, as if they have any integrity at all. They can't say what I'm about to say, which is what everybody knows, which is that they are changing the census not despite concerns that it might cause an undercount, but specifically because they are hoping it will cause an undercount. This is not a side effect. It is the goal to stop people from being counted. Most of these people will be in cities that tend to vote blue, places with immigrants that tend to vote blue, and instead, the balance of power, just like in gerrymandering, will be shifted from cities to rural areas. Also, way beneath the radar screen, we talked about a long time ago that among our anti-voting efforts, prisoners in American prisons have been deemed to reside where the prison is located. Doesn't sound like a big deal since those people don't get to vote anyway. Except what it does is it moves, since we have a couple of million people in our jails and prisons at this point, prisons tend to be in rural areas. People who commit crimes may come from urban areas. So what you are doing is you are shifting congressional representation intentionally from urban areas to rural areas. Once again, to dilute the power of a more educated public in actually running country. Voter suppression efforts. Kris Kobach this week was in Kansas getting yelled at by a federal court judge for being such an unbelievable, incompetent, full of shit, arguing in favor of voter suppression. It may not matter. The voter suppression efforts will not only continue, they will increase, unless the courts specifically ban them, and probably even then. We are continuing to see an attack on journalism, an attack on truth. Truth, journalism, information being necessary to a functioning democracy. Recently, Trump was standing next to Filipino strongman Rodrigo Duterte when Duterte called journalists spies. How did the leader of the free world react to that? The leader of the free world laughed. That was pretty funny. Probably thinking inside, why didn't I think of that? I haven't gone the spy route yet. Around the world, there are a record number of journalists in prison. It is not just an authoritarian reversion worldwide. It is an authoritarian reversion in America, all designed to stop people from voting. New York Times headline this week, post-war global order is attacked from within. Nationalism challenges democracy and unity. and we're on the wrong side. That means us. We are attacking global order from within. We are promoting nationalism over democracy and unity. What we are doing worldwide, we are doing at home. We have said repeatedly on this show that we do not have democracy in this country. And it's time to come out, everybody, and keep saying that. And one, and two, I guess that's one, two, not accept it. For those of us who take pride in living in an open, free, democratic society, let's at least have some evidence of democracy. As we've indicated, the House, which is supposed to be democratic, is clearly not. The Senate is not supposed to be democratic, and it's clearly not. Supreme Court justices are being appointed by a majority in the United States Senate, but a minority of the American voter. And the presidency? Twice in your youthful lives that the person who lost the vote for president became the president. This is not a democracy, but we better make it one. Because one other commentator aptly pointed out that what we have seen is a multicultural, cosmopolitan, young, I'll add educated, young, being ruled by an aging, white, rural, uneducated elite. How long are we going to stand for this? How long does this hold where this country continues to be run by a minority that does not reflect the interests of this country? The best response to that question is, let's not ask that question, because let's have the majority win one for a change. Go out and register your friends, register yourself, your family members, have a party where you all go out and vote together. Don't let them do this to you. Anyway, did you notice the ratings for 60 Minutes this week? Damien, did you watch Stormy on 60 Minutes?
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. So did I. Whatever, it's entertaining. The ratings were through the roof. Record ratings. In fact, the highest ratings since I think they showed a Stormy Daniels film at an evangelical convention. Remarkably high ratings. Why am I a little embarrassed to watch this? For the most part, what's new in this? The President of the United States is one of the most despicable human beings on the planet. He is a pig. He is a thug. And really, he wants to fuck his own daughter. I'm sorry, but that's weird, okay? When she looks at the camera and says, right before we're about to have sex, he says to me, "You remind me of my daughter." And the Playmate model says the same thing? This is really weird, okay? Now I know, why would we take her word for it? He, through his spokespeople, denies it. Well, there's, I think, one of the interesting lessons to come out of this whole escapade. The President of the United States is in a verbal war with a porn star. At least one of them is lying. And there is no sentient human being on the planet who does not believe that person is the President of the United States. In a credibility contest between the US President and a porn star, he comes in third. Other things about this story that are important. Aren't these people the ones who supposedly believe in freedom of speech? That's why corporations get to buy American elections, rich people get to buy American elections. They're big on free speech. They're supposedly big on the Constitution. They're sure as hell big on the Second Amendment. And yet what we find out from this is apparently this is a pretty widespread practice in the right. When you've got damaging information, you've got two ways to deal with it. One, you buy it. You get a newspaper, so-called newspaper magazine, to buy the rights to the story and then bury it, as they did here, as they've done in several examples. This is AMI, which I think stands for Anti-Media Incorporated. It doesn't. That was a joke. But National Enquirer and other magazines buying information, buying stories, strictly to suppress the information contained in those stories. If that doesn't work, you've got NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, which we've argued at length on this show, need to be per se unenforceable. Period. Believe in free speech? Let people speak. When they're not stopping speech that way, they're thuggishly threatening lawsuits. Perhaps threatening physical harm, but certainly threatening lawsuits. Just threaten to use the power of your lawyers, the millions of dollars or billions of dollars that you have at hand, to intimidate anyone into speaking out against you. These are from people who supposedly believe in free speech. In the news this week, the United States is pushing NAFTA in meetings with Canada and Mexico. They are pushing to prevent warnings on junk food. Because if the consumer knows what the consumer is about to eat, well, the consumer might not put that shit into their mouth. And that would be bad. Because somebody has money to make here. White House Watch. Last week we warned about the impending entering of the administration, becoming National Security Advisor of John Bolton. We were hoping that his mustache would keep him from being named NSA, National Security Advisor. This isn't even a joke. This is the President of the United fucking States, and everybody knows that the one thing that was preventing John Bolton from getting an appointment is he didn't like his mustache. What is he, this Marge Schott, the Cincinnati Reds? Okay, none of you got that, but ask your parents, they'll like that one. Some of them will like that one. Well, it turns out the mustache wasn't enough. And this warmonger, along with another warmonger, is now whispering in the president's ear. Of those people who formed the pack of the adults in the White House to tackle the president if he tries to start a nuclear war, there's one left. And there's two people to play offensive line for the president when he goes to sit this. It's kind of funny, but it's like touch and go. Next week, will we be in a nuclear war when we go to press? It's really unbelievable.
I think maybe that's what Trump thinks the nuclear football is.
So that's he thinks it's a game?
Yeah, I think so.
It's entertaining. It's nuclear football. But at least you can't be on your knees when you're opening the nuclear football. You have to be standing. That's the one thing he knows about the nuclear football, I think. The Bolton appointments also leads us to the question, is there anybody left at Fox News? Anybody? Who's working at Fox News who hasn't been hired away by the White House? John Bolton was nuts before he went to Fox News. And you only become more nuts when you work at Fox News. During the Bush administration, there is a law school in America called Regent Law School. It's a non-accredited law school that teaches Christian law. You can imagine how valuable that is in US courtrooms. Don't worry, give Trump appointments a few more years. But right now, it's not very valuable. It's an unaccredited law school. These people can't get jobs in private America. During the Bush administration, though, they needn't have worried because they had a pipeline directly to the White House. They got jobs in Washington, D.C. Fox News is the new Regent Law School. These are rejects, the worst in our society, who now have a pipeline to national leadership. Well, had a pipeline to national leadership. When we talk about Donald Trump filling his administration with the best people at Fox News, apparently. One of those people, Joseph DeGenova, was a Fox News analyst who was replacing lawyer John Dowd, who's out at the White House. Unfortunately, DeGenova couldn't quite meet the very high, what we'll refer to as the Scaramucci bar. The record of longest continuous public service. He couldn't reach the 10 days that Scaramucci made. He was out in less than a week. back to the comfort and safety of Fox News. But John Dowd is still out, leaving Trump with not much of a lawyer left. People are speculating as to why Dowd is out. Dowd said it's because the president doesn't listen to him, which I guess is something he's come to grips with recently. Before that, Trump was listening to you. I was thinking that the underreported story here is that a lawyer cannot knowingly put on perjured testimony. It is against bar association rules. A lawyer can work for a client he or she knows to be guilty, but cannot have that client testify, for instance, if he knows the client is going to wrongly testify to not being guilty. John Dowd knows that Donald Trump is going to commit perjury if he talks to the independent special counsel. And so by bar association rules, he probably had to resign. That was my thinking. That was so last week. Because it turns out Dowd's concern may not have been about preventing perjury by the President of the United States. It turns out he's got his own crimes to worry about, perhaps, allegedly. It turns out, as being reported just hot off the presses now as we go to air, that apparently, maybe, and I'm sure it was just a coincidence, John Dowd was approaching lawyers for Paul Manafort and former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn to discuss the fact that the president might be pardoning their clients before these people agreed to talk to the independent counsel. Would that constitute obstruction of justice? I haven't seen the legal arguments discussed yet, but seriously, would that constitute obstruction of justice? If it wouldn't, somebody needs to pass a law here. There could be a real problem here that they are interfering with the investigation by offering get-out-of-jail-free cards. Maybe that's what John Dowd needs to run away from. Also, just out, hot on the news, hot off the presses, Rick Gates apparently has confirmed to the special counsel that despite all the denials from the Trump administration campaign, etc., in fact, he had loads of contacts with a known Russian spy during the campaign. In fact, during the last few weeks of the campaign when things were particularly hot. Manafort, among others, has denied that anybody knew this, but it sounds like Rick Gates has said everybody knew this, including Manafort. Uh-oh, Paul, better turn real quick. So there's the Russia story moving briskly in a week. It started so quaintly with a phone call. President Trump calling his boss to exchange, I guess, old whore stories. Not supposed to congratulate Putin on his electoral victory, but doing it anyway because you always want to please the boss, don't you? Well, then we saw that the U.S. came out a couple days ago and said that we're going to expel 60 Russian diplomats. We were probably forced into it by Europe and maybe by Robert Mueller. But when people say it's the least I could do, this was probably pretty much the least I could do. Nevertheless, one has to wonder, is somebody going to get a spanking? No, not the good kind. Like a bad spanking from Vladimir. For expelling diplomats? Probably not. Vladimir probably said, okay, that I'll tolerate. Just don't touch our money. We had during the week new information on the firing of Andrew McCabe, assistant director of the FBI. The Trump administration had announced, of course, that he was fired for lack of candor. No, really. They said he was fired for lack of candor. This from an administration where the president himself has lied probably approaching 3,000 times since he became the president. Seriously, you're going to go with that one? Lack of candor? But that's okay, that's what they were using. Well, it turns out there might have been, and who could have seen this one coming, there might have been other motives. It turns out McCabe had instituted an FBI investigation of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. His role in lying to Congress, for instance, about the campaign, about contacts with Russia. And maybe he turned a few heads on that one and got fired because he was initiating this investigation, leading many of us to ask the eternal question, what does recusal mean again? What does recusal mean when you're, I'm not sure. Somebody check that out with someone in the Trump administration. No, never mind. Somebody look it up on dictionary.com. It's probably there. The week began with several former and respected intelligence officials, including John Brennan, coming out and blasting the Trump administration for, among other things, putting this country at risk. Here is a tweet from the former head of the CIA, National Intelligence. When the full extent of your venality, moral turpitude, and political corruption becomes known, you will take your rightful place as a disgraced demagogue in the dustbin of history. He was writing that to the president, in case you missed that. And he didn't even say with all due respect, which is really problematic there. This is a guy who's uniformly viewed as a nonpartisan straight shooter, comes out and writes this to the President of the United States. It is time to get them gone. We have more information about the firing of the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, and no, not the potty part of the story. Really, you haven't heard that? But apparently he heard he was fired while he was sitting on the can. That's when he was informed that Trump had tweeted that you're fired. Check out Trump's tweet. You might want to look at that. Can I flush first? But with the Tillerson, one of the things we've now been reading about is the extent to which it may not just be Russia that has inordinate sway in this White House that may be running this country. Turns out the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, that oil money from various U.S. rivals, quote, allies, has had an inordinate sway on the presidency. And they weren't real happy with Rex Tillerson in several respects. George Nader, cooperating witness who was a lobbyist for those groups, pointed out that according to those groups, Trump was a tool. That's right, the grand negotiator in chief was seen as a tool. Finally, because we're going to be building on this for a while, we're talking about discredited Republican conservative economic policies. We started this last week, and we will be continuing to touch upon this for weeks to come. But we're going to talk about this a little bit in the context of the House budget bill, which was just passed. What's to talk about with the House budget bill? The first interesting thing is to question, is this the first break in the Trump wall with Congress? The House budget bill very much goes against, apparently, the wishes of the President of the United States. Have special elections finally convinced Republicans that always aligning yourself with Trump is not necessarily the best way to electoral success? Maybe. If so, this means real trouble for the President of the United States when the shit starts hitting the wall. But what's also interesting about this story is to learn what the President of the United States' priorities were in his budget. A large increase in military spending and deep cuts to foreign aid, the diplomatic corps. After all, the diplomatic corps is to prevent wars. Why would you do that? Education, deep cuts to education, the environment, domestic programs, including the arts, medicine, low-income housing, and low-income energy. These are the policy goals of the President of the United States. This is supply-side economics. Let's take more money and give it to the rich and fuck everybody else. And don't worry, everybody. I promise you, you'll be better off if you just give me all your money. When we talk about large increases in military spending, by the way, don't think that's going to improve health care to our veterans. That's going to military contractors. And in the budget bill, a little bit of sad news. Betsy DeVos doesn't get the war she wanted, the war on public education. Oh, let's have a moment of silence for Betsy DeVos. Anyway, there's supply side economics again for you. Next week, a little bit more on deregulation, and who knows, whatever the fiascos of the week are then. I can't believe it, but we are already out of time. We were having such a good time here. Thank you for joining us. Like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. You think after all this time I'd remember the damn sign-off thing. That's forwardnationradio.com, and get the full experience. It's just nerves. I know it. I could do it. You'll see the video from this and every episode there, and on our YouTube channel as well, because YouTube hasn't yet been as discredited as Facebook is. But, oh, by the way, did I mention Facebook? Please like us on Facebook, because they're just destroying the planet. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't miss our podcast on Podbean. Tell your friends. Spread the word. Please do go to our website and check out our interviews at the rally. They are worth watching, and a great job by the Forward Nation Radio team. Thanks a lot. Have a great week. See you all next week.
Listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.